serve a faithful God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. God reigns forevermore, and his power destroys every power of darkness. I know that God has a purpose for us as his people. And one of the things that we've been talking about all year long is that where God is taking us to, and by grace has already taken us to, for we are catching up with where God has us. Amen? It's a place that we cannot take ourselves. He is the God who's going to carry us there. It's a place that we have never experienced. I don't think that anyone in the earth has really, truly experienced where God wants to take us as his people, as the church of Jesus Christ in these latter days. They saw it. They dreamt about it. They had visions about it. But they really did not experience it. But everyone that saw it, they were people. They were not perfect people in the sense that they never did anything wrong. There's only one person who's been there, has seen it, has experienced it, that lived a perfect life, never sinned, never did anything wrong, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's the one who says that he's preparing a place for us, that he'll reveal himself to us, that he and the Father are going to come and make an abode with us. They're going to come and abide in our hearts. And we're excited about the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. Yesterday we talked about their heart. We talked about the deceitfulness of it, how desperately wicked it was. We talked about that word wicked, that it was wickedness is about us not letting God be God in our lives. That word wicked is the same word that means twisted. It's the same word for weaker. You know, when you have a weaker furniture, it's made out of cane and bent all over the place. It's the same root that goes to the word witchcraft. So when we do not let God become God in our lives, we bewitch ourselves. So Paul says, who had bewitched you? Who did this to you? We talked about the fact that the heart is the core part of our person. When our heart is sound, life flows through our entire being. But when it is filled with envy, it brings rottenness to the bones. There is a statement, a word that is in the book of Jeremiah chapter 10. And I'm not talking about the heart today, but this is a place for us to connect to what God wants to say to us today. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, the word of God says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not in us to direct our steps. But the word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your steps. He will take care of that aspect. But the part that I need to take part is to surrender my heart to the Lord and say, God, this is my heart, just like we sang. I have a heart that is prone to leave you, but Lord, take this heart and seal it for your courts above. This heart has to be a heart of praise, worship, and adoration. A heart that is surrendered to your word, not listening to circumstances, not attaching itself to the lies of the enemy that tells me that I cannot be what God says I should be. And tonight the Lord says to us, it is a change of season. It's a change of times. The Bible tells us the title of the message today is The Midnight Factor. The Midnight Factor. Midnight is, for us, 12 o'clock. Have you ever thought why it is called midnight? 12 o'clock is midnight. It's midnight because night starts at 6. Hello? So midnight is right at the center. But for us, it is the change of a day for us. It's a change of the day. It means that you are moving from one day to another day. At midnight, when it strikes midnight, it changes in a second. Hallelujah. At midnight, everything changes in a second. Because as it goes, that's how quick. But in God's economy, the midnight hour changes in the twinkling of an eye. Because it doesn't have to take a full second. Anything, any fraction of a second is a new day. Did you get that? And something is changing for every one of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I declare that it is good. Praise God. In the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 25. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the what? Prisoners heard them. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that prisoners, those that are held in captivity, will now hear us as we sing the praises of the Most High God. Hear, world! Amen. Jesus is Lord. Those that are held in captivity, held, they heard the praises. They heard Paul and Silas praying at midnight. And what happened? Verse 26 says, and suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Say it again, suddenly. One more time, suddenly. Hallelujah. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Something began to shake. Something began to move. Something began to transition. Bible says it was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison, and I declare today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that every foundation that God has not laid will be shaken now. Every foundation of imprisonment, every foundation that has kept you and I or anybody else held in the place of captivity, today in the name of Jesus Christ, let it be shaken. Let it be shaken. Let it be shaken in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of God says, everything that needs to be shaken shall be shaken. And I declare this day by the authority of the word of God that at this midnight hour, on this sixth day of our gathering together, that God will shake every shakable thing to its foundations, and that every door be opened. God said, this is the year of the open door. We declare, open doors in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Open doors for you and I to step into our destiny, into the place of our breakthrough by the authority of the word of God. Every fear for your family, this day in the name of Jesus, I cause every lie of the enemy to be shattered by the authority of the Word of God. Every mental issue, every physical issue, every financial issue, every marital issue, whatever the issue that has caused you and I to be held in any place of captivity, by the authority of the Word of God, these doors are now open and we break out by the authority of the Word of the Most High God. Somebody shout hallelujah. And immediately all the doors were opened. Oh, but that's not all that happened at midnight. The Bible says, and everyone's bands were loosed. Oh, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Everybody free. 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 Free in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive your freedom. Receive your deliverance. Receive your promotion. Receive your elevation. Receive the manifold blessings of the Most High God. Somebody shout amen. 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 The freedom of God at midnight. It was a new day. Foundations are shaking. Doors are wide open. And the chains and shackles loose. I will expect a stampede when the doors are open, the chains are gone, all the prisoners should run out en masse. But God had a greater purpose. He wasn't only going to set them that were in prison free. He was going to set the one that was watching them, the warden, free also. God has a greater purpose. You know, God doesn't just come and just deal with things halfway. He goes all the way because he's a master strategist. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the next verse, it says, and the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep. Thank God that there are people that have been assigned to hold saints in bondage that are going to wake up and recognize, I am not going to do the devil's job anymore. I am not going to be congregating in a coven of witchcraft anymore. I am not going to be a Satanist anymore. I am not going to be part of the enemy anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. The guy, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. He wanted to kill himself because he expected that everybody's sick enough. Supposing that the prisoner had been fled, that's what would have happened. But this time, it wasn't him holding them in place. This time, God was saying, don't go anywhere yet. I still have something bigger and better to do. He wanted to kill himself, but Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. But we are all here, not prisoners, because the chains are broken. We are all here, not prisoners, because the doors are wide open, and by our volition and by our will, we would have gone long time ago. But that would have mean you being dead. My salvation does not mean your damnation. My salvation means I got to have you saved too. Everybody. Captor and captive, free. And so the word of God says in verse 29, Then he called for a light. I thank God for that. He called for what? A light. He called for a light. Wait a minute. That statement is not just there for no reason. Stop. If it was all dark, how does he know that all the gates are open? And all the chains are all gone. This was not just an ordinary light that God is saying that he's calling for. This is a man that's been in darkness. And now he's saying, I need to have the light. The word of God says, the entrance of the word of God brings enlightenment. He recognized that whatever it is that he had was not it. He didn't need natural light. He needed a God light. Are you hearing me? Yes, it was a physical light that he was looking for. But God was putting that statement in there to trigger something within us to recognize that there are people that are going to come to salvation that are still in darkness and that they need the light of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God that passes all knowledge. He says he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Verse 30. It says, and did what? Brought them out. I like that. I like that. Because Paul is going to learn the same lesson. He's going to use the same deal. When they wanted to deal with him wrongly, he says, you guys dragged me here. You, with your own hands, you take me out of here. What is God saying? He's saying, I'm going to beat up the devil. The devil is going to beg you to go. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What is it that I need to do to be saved? And the word of God says, during that midnight hour, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And watch this, not only you, and thy house. God had a bigger agenda. Your salvation, it's not just about you. Your salvation is supposed to impact your business, impact your fellow workers, impact your family, impact everyone around you. If anything, every one of us must set and position ourselves and say, God, make me a soul winner. You're a believer a whole year. You've not led anybody to God or even positioned them in the position where they can hear the word of God and be saved. Then what kind of a believer are you? We're so most times interested in us getting saved. Hallelujah, praise God. I clap my hands. Put some oil on my head. You know, the Bible says, it says sometimes, it says, the oil shall break their head. There's some kind of oil you don't want on your head. You want me to go read it to you? You and I need to let God. Be a soul winner. Recognize that salvation is not just so that you can get saved and praise the Lord, hallelujah, I am saved. No, it's about you bringing the message to others so that they can have the opportunity to get saved, and not just them, but their entire household. Somebody shout hallelujah. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that was a man who had been lame from the mother's womb. He was placed in a setting, and here comes Peter and John. They ministered to him. And when they ministered to him, his season changed. He had been there. He was about 40-something years old at that beautiful gate. Nothing beautiful about his life. But the setting where he was always was a setting where he positioned himself to get one thing. And that one thing was not the healing of his body, even though it was that. His greatest desire was that he was going to go into the temple where he was told he could never step into. He had missed his opportunity many times, because twice the Lord Jesus Christ had cleansed the temple, and the sick, the lame, the crippled, the blind were brought into the temple, and he healed them all. Jesus permitted these people that were not allowed to come inside the temple to come inside. But for whatever reason, we don't know, he missed it. During the times Jesus came and healed everybody, he had the same problem like everybody else that got healed. He had the same desire to go in there, but he was not there. But the Bible says he was placed there daily. Every day he was carried to that temple. But on this day, and I declare that this day is our day. Amen? I say it's a new day for us. Our other people may have received their healing, received their deliverance, received their elevation, received their blessings, and we may have missed it. Or maybe we did not know, or maybe we came late, or whatever happened, I don't know. But this day is our day. They ministered to him and he got healed. And the Bible says, and he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and doing what? Praising God. The midnight factor. In Luke chapter 11, beginning to read from verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? At what? Midnight. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I cannot what? Rise and give thee. Verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. Watch that. Though he will not rise and give him the loaves of bread that he wants because he is his friend, yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Basically, because this guy is going to disturb him, he's going to get up and give him everything he needs, because this guy is creating a ruckus. Take the bread, go, my children, my wife, they are sleeping. Take the breath. Just go, 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 go. Are you with me so far? Next verse. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, in the English, it's perfect. A, ask. S, seek. K, knock. It spells what? Ask. And our role is to ask for this outpouring of grace to come upon our lives. God, you are looking for end-time men and women that are totally sold out to you. God, I am saying, I am here. Use my life. Use my life. If you are going to use anybody, use me. If you're going to use anybody to shake this world, use me. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And verse 10 says, for everyone that asketh, if you ask, you're going to receive. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. But notice, Jesus, our Lord, said, this happened at midnight. The midnight factor is the perfect positioning to receive from God. We are perfectly set, positioned to ask, to seek, to knock, so that we can receive, so that we can find, so that we can experience the opening. Somebody shout hallelujah. The next verse says, if his son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, he'll give him a stone. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? In other words, if you're asking me for anything, if your father will not give you something evil for the good thing that you're asking, what do you think your Heavenly Father is going to do? And verse 12 says, if you ask an egg, ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13, if ye then being, present tense continuous, evil, natural fathers know how to give good gifts. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Notice his focus is the Holy Spirit. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? Ask him. Oh, watch. He says, your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that what? Ask him. Did they ask for the Holy Spirit? Basically, what he's saying is, anything that you ask for, I am going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you get it. Whatever it is you need, There is a Holy Spirit who is your comforter, who is your helper, who is your revelator. He is going to come alongside of you and make certain that whatever it is you got to get, you are going to get it. And what we're asking for is that God will use our lives in a mighty way to shake every kingdom that is not part of the kingdom of God so that the captives can be set free. We are calling for the salvation of men and women, for the healing of nations. God Almighty, use our lives. Dispatch the power of the Holy Spirit. We want the baptism. I don't want to be filled. I want to be baptized. I don't just want to speak in tongues. I want the, and you shall receive power. The dynamic power of God. You're going to receive this power. And because you have this power, you will be my representatives. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all to the uttermost parts of the world. I want to be a world shaker. I want to be a prophet to the nations. I want to be one that is using the healing power of God to set the captives free. Have you looked around and seen how much pain there is in our world? So many people defeated. So many living in fear. So many mesmerized by what's happening in the world and are confused. They don't know their left from their right. They need the light of God so that they don't stumble. And God can use my life. And God can use your life. God can use us. And we must tap into that grace today in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was at midnight. Midnight is a time to ask for refreshment. Midnight is a time to ask for your daily bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your assignment and the grace to accomplish it. The Bible tells us in the book of Joshua, in the book of Joshua chapter 16, Joshua chapter 16, and verse 13. I believe. Judges, sorry. I apologize. Judges 16. And verse 3. The man, Samson. When you think about Samson, don't think about Samson as a guy that's all buffed and stuff like that, some, you know, skinny guy that didn't look like much. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, he was more than enough. Hallelujah. So here's Samson. You know, the story leading to this particular passage, when you read about Samson, he's anointed. He's chosen of God. But he's not living like a God person. And sometimes when you think about Samson, you wonder why the whole story of Samson is in there. Because the first thing Samson, first words we hear from Samson is, I saw a woman. Those are his first words. I saw a woman. And that's the last thing he saw, a woman. Samson is messing around with some harlots. He's in a place called Gaza. And the Philistines are around and they want to take him out. They want to get rid of this guy because he's a problem to them. But there's a reason why he's there. Because Gaza means strong. The stronghold. Let me say something else about Samson before I go on further. He's not called to be our example. And one of these days I'm going to spend my time teaching on Samson. And you see everything about this young man from his beginning to the end. He's called to be a Nazarite. And this is why we must move past the place of the anointing. If you stay stuck in the realm of the anointing, you're going to have problems in this realm. Because the anointing is one thing. But we're talking about the glory of God. He's anointed. There's no doubt about it. He's anointed. And his first battle. And as a Nazarite, he's not supposed to touch anything that is dead. Remember that? But do you know where his first miracle came from? He grabbed the jawbone of a dead animal and defeated the enemy. Hey, I see God. Even though I touched a dead body, it still worked. And now we have him with harlots. The anointing is still working. But the reason I bring this, you know, because you got to have an understanding of whatever it is God is trying to say. Bible says, Samson lay till midnight. The reason. Because the midnight time is the time for the flip. It's a time of the change. If I'm not mistaken, I should have researched more about this, but I think this is the first time that word midnight is used. I might be wrong, but I'll confirm that later. I'll go back and check. I don't have time to do that extra study. But right now, I think that's the first time that word is used. He says he lay till midnight and arose at what? Midnight. He woke up at midnight. Got up and took the doors. He took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them. He just grabbed the gate, put it on his shoulder as government, hallelujah, and carried them up. Are you with me? This man carried the whole gate, carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Just grabbed it. The whole gate. Went up the hill. And he comes to the area of Hebron. And he dumps it there. The word Hebron means association. Association. So basically, he carries that entire gate on his shoulder and dumps it near association. And the message is this. At the time of midnight, and remember the story of Paul and Silas and the rest of the people, it's a time when you flip from the capacity of just one person to the capacity of us. Us. We are together. And they were together in one place when the Spirit of God came. This next move, why we will recognize our leaders for who they are and what God has called them to be, it is teamwork. And like they say, there's no I in team. There might be an I in Timothy, but not I in team. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's us working together, following the instruction of leadership, because the gate represents the place of government. Praise the Lord. God wants to do something new. And tonight, we're going to ask God. We're going to ask God to do something new with us. Are you ready? You sure? Well, praise the Lord. Let me do one more thing, and then we're going to pray. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 20, remember association. Acts 20 and verse 7, midnight. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. You see that? Association. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow or on the next day, and continued his speech until what? Midnight. He continued speaking until when? Midnight. Verse 8. Something happened there. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Verse 9. And there were many what? Lights. Why is the Bible telling you about lights at midnight? Because it's about association. God is saying there were many lights. There were many gifted people, anointed people, an association, a team. You with me? That's what that's representing. So there's all these lights. It says, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. Eutychus means fortunate. Been falling into a deep sleep. All these lights, but this guy is busy sleeping, and he's sleeping at the window. And as Paul was long preaching, how many of you experienced those long preaching recently? See, I'm following the pattern, see? Oh, glory. Long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. He was taken up dead. Next verse. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." His life is in him. And Paul raised him from the dead. Is that what you read? No. He just rested on him. Where did he get that from? From the prophet Elijah. Resting on the child. The Bible goes on. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, so he rested on the guy, he left him, went up, starts eating and preaching. He just continued. The guy is still down there. This is the place of faith and not sight. I've already declared there's life in there. Let's go eat. He sits down, starts eating and drinking and talked a long while, even till break of day. So another 6 hours. So he departed. Next verse. Watch this. So he what? Departed. And they what? Brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Did you get the whole story? The man fell off at midnight. He's been preaching till midnight. The guy falls down 3 levels. Hits the ground. He's dead. They raise him. He's dead. The man of God comes, lays on him, and says, there's life in him. Where did the life come from? It came from the man of God. I've infused life into him. He goes back up, preaches and teaches and eats till morning. Then he leaves. Did you read it with me? It says he departed. He left. The guy is still there. It looks like nothing changed, but everything has changed. When God brings you and I into this dimension, sometimes it looks like nothing changed, but everything has changed. He leaves, he departs, and then they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. What is the association here? That in the midst of Paul doing what he did, that there were no bodies, no persons complaining and griping and saying, "Paul, you don't care. How can you be sitting down here? Somebody's dead downstairs because of you and your long preaching. They died. And you went down there. Exactly what did you do? You just laid down there and you come up here and you want us to eat and drink? And you're preaching what? There is a man dead, brother." Shame on you, Paul. There was no insurrection against him. That is the realm of oneness, association, believing God to do the extraordinary because a prophetic word had come forth. Is somebody listening Today, we want to fight each other. I don't like this. I don't like that. Why did you do this? And why did you do that? Forget about what the man of God did or did not do. Just believe God for the transformation of this new season. Amen? Hallelujah. And I wrap up with this. I'm going to wrap up at a very dangerous place. The Bible tells us in the book of Kings, Solomon is now king. He's king, and one of the first things that happened after he received the wisdom of God, he'd given his special offering. God talked to him and he'd asked for wisdom, and God says, okay, I'm not just going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you lots of money. And so he's blessed. And here he is in 1 Kings chapter 3. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Two women that are harlots came to him and they stood before him. And one says, you know what? I gave birth to a child. 3 days. And then this other lady gave birth to her child. But she slept on her child and her child died. And she came at midnight. let's go. It says, and she arose at what? Midnight. This is the place. Midnight is the time. You know, anything that is good that happens, there's always an enemy that wants to do something bad. She arose at midnight and took my son. Her son is dead. She took my son from beside me while an handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. She came and switched stuff. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that there will be no switching of your destiny, no switching of God's design and plan, purpose in your life by any enemy. There are two harlots. This one sleeps on her own child, the child dies, and now goes and steals the other one's child. Now she says, it's my child. She arose at midnight. When God brings you to a new season, there's always an enemy that wants to steal what God has for you. But not this time. I said, not this time. I said, not this time. I said, not this time. Hallelujah. Switched children. 21. When I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, in other words, I examined the child. There is no way for her to know if she'd not examined that child. You've got to make connection with the miracle that God has given to you. See all the intricacies. This is a grace that God has given to me. Because when the enemy comes and switches, if you don't know, they will keep your child. They will keep your blessing. She checked it out in the morning and says, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. This is not the child I gave birth to. The child I gave birth to lives a life that glorifies God. The child I gave birth to is not a druggie. The child I gave birth to is not a thief. The child I gave birth to is not a sickler. The child I gave birth to is not a failure. This one,
Devil, take your child. I'm going to get my child back. The one God gave to me is a blessing.
Hallelujah. Therefore, I decree today, Satan, pack your load and get out of my family, get out of my children, get out of my business, get out of my church, get out of my ministry, get out of my family. You are a lying devil, and you cannot take the blessing that God has blessed me with and twist it and make it something else.
Says, oh, this is not one I bought. 22. To begin to wrap up. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So there's this argument. Next verse. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. 24. And the king said, bring me a what? A sword. The sword of the Spirit. Bring me a sword. Bring me a word. And he brought a sword before the king. And the king says, divide the living child. Cut this child into two and give one half to this one and half the other half to the other one. Ah. And the child, the woman that did not have anything in connection to the child, no love connection, no bond, says, do it. The one that had a connection said, please, let the child live. She can have the child. Give her, I know it's my child, give it to her. The other one says, no, cut the child up. Because what does not belong to you, you will never be able to bond with. If you've not birthed by the Spirit of God something, you have no connection with it. I don't expect anybody to have the connection that I have with the saints in this house. Like Mom and I will have this that connection. I may not be here every time, but it doesn't matter where I am in the world. I carry everyone with me. So if something's happening to somebody, I'm already praying. I might not come and tell you, the Lord showed me something, I'm praying about this for you. No. Not going to tell you that. Because sometimes if you tell people certain things, they are going to get all wound up and scared, and they start, instead of believing God for their breakthrough, they focus on the problem. So somebody has to do the solving of the problem for you before you even know that you had a problem. Understand? He says, split her, split the child. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, oh my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. But if you divide it, the child is going to be dead. Yeah, I want the child dead just like mine is dead. And that's what's going to happen in these last days. There are going to be people, even churches, ministers that are going to go against the purposes of God and say, destroy that church. I know my church is no good. This one, kill it too. Yeah, let's all be the same. I took the mark of the beast. You too take the mark of the beast. Yes. That's exactly what we're going to do. And there are going to be people who are going to speak so fluently against what God is doing because they are not connected to the glory. They are not connected to what God wants to do. They are stuck into their so-called gifts and abilities. This is not the realm of gifts. This is the realm of God doing His thing. He has a greater agenda. And His agenda is not just me, myself, and I. His agenda is about reaching a world. And we will be that church. We will be those people that God will use in these last days to proclaim boldly and clearly, this is the way. Follow it. Rise with me. Say with me, Lord, in this midnight hour, this season of supernatural change, I ask for a fresh manifestation of your glory in my life. Your word says, all creation waits patiently for the manifestation of the sons of God. I am a son of the Most High God. For your word says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I don't just believe, for your word says, they that believe, you give the power, the authority to become. Lord, I don't just want to become. I want to be the son right now of the Most High God. Therefore, manifest your glory through me, in me, with me, by me. Lord God, do a new thing. You said, if I ask, I will receive. If I seek, I will find. If I knock, the door will be open. You said, if I ask, you will give to me your Holy Spirit. You will not give me stone for bread. You will not give me a serpent for fish. You will not give me a scorpion for an egg. So, Lord, I come to you, my good God. Do a good thing, an extraordinary thing with my life. I am not depending on myself. I'm depending on you. Lord, build your body. Make us one association under your lordship. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. For how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It is like the anointing oil that was poured on the head of your high priest Aaron, that ran down his beard and down his steps. It is like the oil, like the dew on Mount Hermon, for there you commanded your blessings. Lord, let your commanded blessings come upon our lives now, for we are together, our holy brethren, a united force. Let it be, O God, like you promised, a baptism for us in this season. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, and amen, and amen, and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give a good clap of offering unto the Lord.